Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. And right now, this is tape 6, chapter 3 of the Song of Solomons. Let's all go up to the throne of the Lord to ask him to bless us, the reading and the hearing of these tapes. Heavenly Father, our Lord and God, you are our Heavenly Father. We are the sons of God, those of us who have accepted you and accepted all your ways, your entire word. We ask that you open the spirits, our spirits, and the ears of our spirits, and the mind of our spirits, and let everything that is said here go deep, sink deep into our spiritual minds and our spirit, Lord, that we may be strong and endure in these last days, the days, and we know that we're going to go through the tribulations. In fact, we're into them right now. The tribulations are getting greater and greater every day. And so that we'll be strong, Lord. It's your word that makes us strong. We ask all these things, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Let's go on. Let's start out with the King James, and then we'll go on to the commentary.
Chapter 3. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought
him. Okay, this is the Shulamite. Okay, but I've got that later. Okay, go ahead.
I sought him, but I found him not. Commentary, verse 1. One night as I lay in bed, I yearned deeply for my lover, but he did not come. King James, verse 2. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth.
This is still the Shulamite talking, the actually representative of the body of Christ. Those that are laying on their beds at night and they're seeking the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. To everybody has problems in this world, and except those that are of the body of Christ, we have different things that happen as well, but we seek the Lord. We want to find him, our beloved Savior and guide, to guide us as on the different things that we need to do in order to make our lives more blessed, more happy. Okay, so continue on.
This is verse 2 continued. I sought him, but I found him not.
I sought him, but a lot of times you'd be praying to the Lord, and you don't seem to get an answer, but the Lord says, then just keep trying. Go up to the highways, the byways. Satan may be hindering you, but just keep on trying to locate him. All right? Go ahead.
Okay. Commentary, verse 2. So I said to myself, I will get up now and roam the city, searching for him in all its streets and squares. But my search was in vain. King James, verse 3. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Commentary, verse 3. The watchmen stopped me as they made their rounds, and I said to them, have you anywhere seen the one I love so much?
We're going around the city. The city where the Lamb is the light. This is the of the nation of Israel now. The promised land, or the land of Israel, is symbolic of the kingdom of heaven. And the people in the watchmen inside the city are symbolic of the born-again Christians that are supposed to watch and pray. Amen?
Amen.
And so have you any news from the Lord? Did he tell you anything? That's why we go to church, is so that some people have heard and some haven't. And if we haven't been going to church, then we are not hearing everything that the Lord is saying to the different members of the church. Have you heard from him today, or did he tell you anything last night? You really want to know the Lord that well and to communicate with him, or to hear some word from him that bad, to where you even ask people, have you heard from the Lord? Do you know where he's at? Well, what's he up to? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
King James, verse 4. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house.
This is like Jacob. He wouldn't let the Lord go. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me.
Right. When you know the Lord, you want to tell your loved ones, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. You want to bring the Lord to them. So you do. Amen?
Amen.
With the message that he gives you. And you don't have to memorize the message that the Lord gives me. Get a hold of the Lord, and he'll give you a message. And it'll come from you. It'll be a message from him with your personality involved in it. And they'll know that it isn't something that you copied out from somebody else. They'll know it's from you. Amen?
Amen.
So get used to, you know, a lot of people think that we are called to just, that the people in the congregation are just called to just sit and listen to the word of God and do nothing. But the book of Acts tells that, you know, the people scattered when there was great persecution. The church scattered, the Bible says. Okay, does that mean that the church is a building and it's scattered? The building scattered, it went here and there and everything? No, yeah. It's the church is the people in the church. Amen?
Amen.
And so people that were the apostles, they stayed, but the church scattered. And it says that they were preaching the gospel all over the places where they were scattered. So the Bible has apostles. The Lord has provided apostles, teachers, preachers, evangelists, and helps to teach the church to be preachers. That's where you're learning these things for, is not to just be sitting in the church and learn something and then just go home. But the Lord is training you to hear the messages so that you yourselves can be, because everybody in the church is supposed to be a preacher. Otherwise, what are you doing in the church? The whole purpose of the Lord is he came into the world to save sinners, and he wants us to follow him to do the same thing he did. Amen?
Amen.
But he had to learn, and we have to learn as well. But we're learning not to just be, have some kind of a job in the church that is like washing dishes or something. You're to become an evangelist, a preacher. And that's why all these helps are written in the Bible for the edification of the church that was scattered and preached the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because that's scriptural. All right? So if you're going to be a member of the church, remember that you are to be a preacher. That's why you go to church. That's why you hear sermons, is to learn how and what the whole Bible is about, and to learn about the Lord. Because you can't, if you don't know the Lord, the Word, then how can you love somebody you don't know? But the more you read the Word, the more you know the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And the more you know him, he's good. And you can see that. Amen?
Amen.
And he made man and woman. And this Song of Solomon is about the relationship between man and woman. And after all this creation, he said for him to be fruitful and multiply, have children, amen, lots of them, replenish the earth. And then after that, he said, and everything he saw was good. Good, you know, marriage is good, isn't it?
Yes.
And honorable among all men, Paul said, right?
Yes.
And the marriage bed is not defiled, amen?
Amen.
And this is like this whole thing about this King Solomon and this Shulamite that he loved so much is symbolic of the Lord. The King Solomon is symbolic of the Lord, and the Shulamite is the church, the bride, because the whole thing ends up, everything, this whole Bible ends up with a marriage, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen?
Amen.
And usually in the old ancient Jewish history, the groom would go over to the bride's house. In the case like Abraham sent one of his servants to go to whose house? Rebekah's. Amen?
Amen.
And you usually have gifts and everything for the bride's family. Amen?
Amen.
And the Jews really don't want you to be married to some bum. You know, they don't want their daughter to go off with some bum. Or some young upstart that doesn't know how to provide for us, he hasn't learned a craft yet. But in Israel, the young man They start learning how to work when they're 5 years old. And by the time they're 14, it's about 9 years of experience. They've got a real good training how to run their dad's store, a hotel. I met young people there in Israel that were just as sharp as tacks. They were running hotels. This one gentleman that I met was only 21 years old, and he was as sharp as a tack and very industrious. He'd be, I'd get up in the morning, and here he is coming into the room with a bunch of maids, and he's helping them change the beds. Then I go downstairs, and he's behind the counter greeting people coming into the hotel, and he has done a promotion and gotten all kinds of tour buses coming in there, and the place is packed out. And he didn't have a swimming pool, but he'd tell people, "Oh, I'm so sorry, but our swimming pool is broken at the moment, so you won't be able to use that while you're here." But you never see where the swimming pool is, because there is none, you know. And I got to be pretty good friends with the guy and learned his mode of operandus. And he would also, so I'd say, "Where can you get, something to drink, or a bottle of water or something around here?" And he says, "Just around the corner is the bar." And so I go around the corner, and there's this pull-up window there, and all of a sudden, he had a suit on, but all of a sudden, he raises the thing up, and he's got an apron on, and the suit jacket is off. He says, "What will you have, sir?" And then I go to eat the dinner in the evening, and here he is waiting on tables with all the waitresses and everything, the waiters. So this guy is really an industrious guy, and he really knew how to handle, take care of business, and the Lord is prospering in his hotel. I went into a grocery store over by the Sea of Galilee, and this little boy was in there. He's 5 years old, and the dad says, "Go get me such and such from the back room, son." And he says, "Okay, Abba," and he runs in there and gets this little can of something, whatever it was the customer wanted, and he's learning how to run that grocery store. But over here, they don't even let you be a bag boy until you're 15, 16 years old. You got to have but the Jew trains their children, and the little girls are trained to be wives, and they learn all the different things about being married and about motherhood and all the other things. And by the time they are married, they know how to cook and sew and all sorts of things. It's really, they know these different books in the Bible of what the position of a person that is a male is supposed to do and what a female is supposed to do. And the people out here in the United States are absolutely null and void of any knowledge of what they're supposed to do and who they are and what they're supposed to be. They've got a warped vision of what is right and wrong. And all we need to do is go to the Bible, and we'll be able to determine very easily what's right and wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now let's go.
Commentary verse 4. A little I found him and held him. I didn't let him go until I had brought him to my childhood home, the house of my mother, and into my mother's bedroom where I had been conceived. King James verse 5. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please.
I told you that same charge was in the book, that book, 4 times, right?
Yes.
And there it is again. That's the second time you've heard it, right?
Yes.
Then what?
Commentary verse 5. I charge you, O virgins of Jerusalem, and promise me by the swift gazelles and the deer of the wild, not to awaken love until the time is right.
Right, John. I explained that the other day, right?
Yes.
You're not supposed to be married to a person that is not a Christian. And if they're in the church and they're not Christians, a lot of people are in churches and they're totally disobeying the commandments and doing things in the church that is against the will of the Lord. That person is not a Christian. And then some lonesome female in the church wants to have relationships real fast, and it's natural and normal for a woman to have a husband, but it has to be a person that is of the Lord, somebody that's born again, and somebody that is walking in the Spirit. So people shouldn't begin love Or start to kindle love just for somebody that you just like the looks of. Amen?
Amen.
Because this Shulamite may not have been that attractive to many other men, but she was to Solomon, because she was, as he wrote in the book of Proverbs, what a real woman of the Lord is supposed to be. She obviously or evidently was. Amen?
Amen.
And so when love comes, like, the Lord will just come and tell you who to marry and who to not to, if you have an ear that listens to the Lord or is concerned about your future, concerned about your destiny, you'll be careful in your selection. Okay, then what?
King James verse 6. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, and with all powders of the merchant? Commentary, verse 6, Young Virgins of Jerusalem's talking. The wedding procession, the coming of Solomon, the Shulamite.
Okay, he's coming out of the desert, okay, like a cloud. And out of the Lord, amen?
Amen.
The coming of Solomon, or this is like the coming of the Lord. Okay, go ahead and read it.
Who is this sweeping in from deserts like a cloud of smoke among the ground?
Well, doesn't that sort of remind you of the pillar of the cloud? Amen?
Yeah.
That shaded and led Israel through the desert, kept them from the hot sun. Amen?
Amen.
That wasn't Solomon. That was the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Who is it that is perfumed with myrrh and frankincense and every other spice, with all the merchant's fragrant powders?
Well, that's the Lord is so sweet to the soul. Amen?
Amen.
To your spirit. I mean, people that love the Lord, they smile when they hear the word of the Lord. It's so beautiful. Amen?
Amen.
It is the Lord entering your spirit. Then what?
King James verse 7. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel.
Behold, or look at his what?
His bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel.
Okay.
Commentary verse 7. Look, behold, it is Solomon's carriage, with 60 of Israel's mightiest men surrounding it.
The mightiest men of Israel. To protect him at nighttime, when somebody might come to try to kill him. There's a band of angels around Jesus. He knew when his time was up. Amen?
Amen.
There's no one could have harmed him. No one could have taken his life. He laid it down. Amen? For our sakes. So no one could have overpowered him. And he proved it several times when they asked who he was, and he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, and they all fell back on their backs. Amen?
Amen.
All he would have had to do is go like he did the swine, and they would have all run down into some place. Amen?
Amen.
Or he could have said the word, and the earth would have opened up and swallowed them into hell alive. He's God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 8. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. Commentary, verse 8. They are all skilled swordsmen and experienced warriors. Each one wears a sword on his thigh, ready to defend the king against an attack during the night.
Well, we have better bodyguards than that. That's symbolic of the Lord is our defender, and he fights for us. Amen?
Amen.
He's better than 60 mighty warriors, the mightiest of Israel. Amen?
Amen.
He's the mighty one of Israel. Amen?
Amen.
He makes alive and he kills. He can kill and make alive, right?
Yes.
Within a moment. That's the one I want defending me. Amen?
Amen.
Not 50 mighty men of Israel. But this is just symbolic of the Lord. Amen? Or 60 mighty men. Go ahead now.
King James verse 9. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. Commentary verse 9. King Solomon has built a carriage for himself from wood imported from Lebanon's forests. King James verse 10. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Commentary, verse 10. Its posts are of silver, its canopy is gold, and its seat is upholstered in purple cloth. Its interior was a gift of love from the young virgins of Jerusalem.
Right, these are the people, we sing praises and give honor unto the Lord. Amen. And this is a sweet savor unto the Lord, to thank him and to praise him, okay, for giving us eternal life and life more abundantly here on earth. Don't we have better life here than anybody else in the world?
Yes.
Okay. Then what?
King James, verse 11. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon, with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals, and in the day of the gladness of his heart. Commentary, verse 11. The young Shulamite speaking. Go out to look upon King Solomon.
The young Shulamite, the young virgin, the bride of Solomon, speaking, the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Symbolic of the body of Christ talking. Then what?
Go out to look upon King Solomon, O young virgins of Jerusalem. See the crown with which his mother crowned him on his wedding day, the day of his gladness.
Right, look upon the Lord in all of his glory. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
In chapter 3, verses 6 through 11, it was customary...
That was the end of that chapter, and now here's just a commentary, all right? Go ahead.
In chapter 3, verses 6 through 11, it was customary in ancient Israel for the groom to come to the bride's home in an elaborate procession. After the ceremony and wedding feast, the newly married couple went to the groom's home to consummate the marriage. They did not live with his parents, as was typical in other cultures of the ancient Near East.
So you see people getting married, and then they haven't got any money, and so they move, like the Gentiles, they move into their parents' house. Amen? The Lord doesn't say that. He says you're to leave your mother and father's house, okay, and then cleave unto your wife, and you become one flesh, and he wants you to set up a separate household, your own household. That's why the people of Israel train their children to work when they're young and teach them to be providers for their families, husbands and providers for their families, and they stay at home. And a lot of the women in Beverly Hills look for a Jewish husband because they know that they're going to have some money, okay? And they know that they're good providers. And so go ahead and run that again. Just that one sentence.
Okay. After the ceremony and wedding feast, the newly married couple went to the groom's home to consummate the marriage. They did not live with his parents, as was typical in other cultures of the ancient Near East.
And also here in the United States, right? You see all kinds of people, even in New York, you see them living like several different offsprings of the family, married and everything like that, living in hovels, brownstones together. Maybe 10, 15, 20 people in one place. And some of her sons and daughters that are married, they got their wives in one room and their husbands in another room and so on. It's a real literal mess, and it's very unscriptural. That's why you learn how to provide for your wife when you're young. And then when you're like 14 years old, when it's the legal time to be married, you've got 9 years experience of how to run a business. And you've learned from your father, working with him, that you know how to conduct yourself in the business world. Right?
Right.
And how to conduct yourself. Of course, they need the Lord. But in that respect, they're 100% right. All right? So, nowadays, when people, men ask women, or young boys ask women out to a date, they say, "Have you got money to pay for my hamburger?" They can't even afford to buy them a hamburger. Or they'll say, "Are we going Dutch?" That means you pay for your hamburger and I'll pay for mine. He tells that to the girl. That girl's is not a good prospective husband. Amen?
Amen.
Or is that amen?
Amen.
Say, Sharon, am I telling the truth?
Yes, you are.
Okay, about the women out of the...
Yes.
Have you ever been asked to pay for your own way?
Yes.
before you were saved?
Yes. Yes.
Well, during my time, I mean, you would never, that would be the most embarrassing thing in the world to ask a girl to pay for your burger, for her burger. How could you even sit and face her? But of course, women are so hungry today for men that they'll actually pay them to go with them. That's sickening and despicable. They're too man-hungry.
Genesis 2:24 insists that both bride and groom have their respective families and form a new household, setting up proper boundaries with both sets of parents.
Yes, because a lot of times your parents are going to cause you a lot of trouble and try to wreck your marriage when you're living with one family or the other. And so you have to distance yourself from them. And sometimes you have to really get even greater distance away from them if they're trying to cause trouble. Now, this is not giving anybody, if you're in the body of Christ, you can't do that. You can tell the pastor, and the pastor will move you to another place. But if you try to go out into the world, you're just cutting your own soul off. You're cutting your spirit off from getting into the kingdom of heaven. You don't let your families do that to you. Just report it to me, and I'll see what we can do. Amen?
Amen.
If there's a will to live right in the Lord, there's a way. All right, go ahead.
Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
Right? One flesh. That means that you're not connected with your family. Your family is now the Lord, and you're the children that you have in that union. Amen?
Amen.
And your girlfriends are not closer, it's supposed to be closer to you than your husband, or your, and your boyfriends are not supposed to be the man's male friends are not supposed to be closer to them than their wives. There's no closer union. I don't care if you have 100 children. There's no closer union than a husband and wife. You're supposed to become one flesh, all right? That just like you must be one flesh with the Lord, one spirit with the Lord, rather, okay? You cannot separate yourself from the Lord, and you cannot separate yourself from the husband or the wife. Now, if you've done something to do that already, well, then you're going to have to wait on the move of the Lord, because if you've offended your husband so much that he's put you in ward, or if the wife, if you've offended her so much that she's put you, you know, just doesn't want to have anything to do with you, you have to pray until the Lord moves on that, all right? Because if you just let it lie, nothing will happen. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You must ask, all right? The Lord. Okay, then what?
Commentary. If our parents have had negative effects on us, our progress in maturity may demand we set stronger boundaries between us and them. This may be instrumental in freeing us from some of our destructive patterns.
Right, if you're getting oppression from anyone, really, this could be a destructive thing to your pattern, the pattern of life that the Lord wants you to live. And if it's a satanic oppression, now don't be calling a natural spiritual separation by the Lord a satanic thing against you. You better examine yourself first rather than your spouse that is of the Lord. Examine yourself. And you're the one that has to change, because it's for sure you're not going to change a man of the Lord or a woman of the Lord to go your way. You have to go the Lord's way, or else you will not have a husband or you will not have a wife. Okay? Because nobody's going to change to your way, especially when they are on a higher level spiritually than you ever thought of being. All right, then go ahead.
Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 6, commentary.
Okay, this is like Solomon coming out, or the glory of God coming out from the desert. Go ahead.
Who is this sweeping in from deserts like a cloud of smoke among the ground? Who is it that is perfumed with myrrh and frankincense and every other spice, and with all the merchant's fragrant powders?
Okay, now go back to the commentary where you were starting to read from.
Verse 6 recalls the first appearance of God's glory in
this.
This
is a cloud that comes in from the deserts. Okay? Go ahead and read it now.
Verse 6 recalls the first appearance of God's glory in the giving of the manna, Exodus 16:10-15.
Okay, now go ahead.
Read Exodus now.
Exodus 16:10-15. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was.
Right, and manna means, what is this? It is, what is this? Okay, that's what they were saying. Manna means, what is this? Or we say, we know that that means bread in our language, but it means, what is this? It's the bread of life. What is, and the whole world is saying, what is this word of God? It has no value whatsoever. I mean, it's just a bunch of words. No, but the word of God is Christ, and it is able to, Christ grafts himself into your spirit as you read him. God is the word. And the Word became flesh. And when you read the Word, he grafts himself into you, to where you have Christ in you growing, and he must grow daily. Once he stops growing in you, then you will fall away. The Word is precious, like a precious ointment. And if we have the Lord growing in us, well, then we won't have cancer growing in us. Once you decide that you know it all, and that there's no need for you to study the Word of God because you've arrived, then something is going to start growing in you other than the Lord. And you're not going to like it. Okay, keep going.
And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat.
You wanted to know, what is this? This is the bread that the Lord has given you to sustain you on the desert, because you're going to be here for 40 years. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
In commentary, the fragrant smoke resembles the pillar of cloud which guided and shaded Israel on the desert for 40 years, and the altar of incense. Exodus 13:21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night.
Okay, so this shows up in the book of Song of Solomon, amen? Symbolic of using Solomon as the symbol of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Exodus 30:34-38. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take unto thee sweet spices, stack thee, and onycha, and galbanum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense, of each shall there be like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people.
Right, so anyone that would ever try to duplicate that formula that the Lord gave them would be killed. God will kill you, because it's just for the Lord. All right, and then what?
Commentary. This picture of the Shulamite tells of covenant blessings, which pictures a fruitful and perfected covenant people in full possession of, not the symbol of the promised land, but of the true promised land, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven.
Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and that was chapter 3 in the book of Song of Solomons, and I'll be doing chapter 4 for you tomorrow, Lord willing. Till then, God bless you all. Praise the Lord.